Good morning. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together? God, come to you and we thank you. You are good, kind, and loving. And thank you that we could sing to you. And thank you that we can even come together. Thank you that we can open your word together and read. I pray that, God, that as we do read this morning, that you would, that your word would dig deep into our hearts and that your spirit would show us how we can love you more and be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, something that's easy for us to do is, we do it without thinking, is go through life without evaluating ourselves, without inspecting ourselves, without evaluating how we're doing, where we are, especially in our relationship with God. We, you know, days go by, Sunday after Sunday goes by, we develop habits and routines, which that's phenomenal. I love habits. I would be lost without habits, but we easily enter into autopilot mode where we just live the way we are. We don't look in the mirror and evaluate ourselves. And that is extremely dangerous. It's dangerous because sin comes into our lives little by little. I don't decide today, everything's good today in my heart, and tomorrow, all of a sudden, I decide to try heroin and leave my wife and, you know, make a list of all the radical changes I could make. That doesn't happen from one day to the next. Sin comes in little by little. We leave God, we walk away from his people little by little. Bitterness and depression and pride grow in our hearts little by little. Idols. We've been talking about idols the last few weeks. Idols. No, not the last few weeks. Before the last few weeks. The last few weeks before the last few weeks. Anyway, idols come into our hearts little by little. And all of a sudden, I love something deeply that is not God. When we don't evaluate our lives, we don't really know how we're doing, which is ironic because we ask ourselves that question, you know, each other the question, how you doing? And we immediately, I'm doing good. Are you? Really? Am I? Really? Because when we don't evaluate ourselves, we really don't know. I'm sure we can all think of somebody, maybe even ourselves. Somebody comes to mind. We say, you know what? Yeah. I see how that person, little by little, maybe it was you, me, in a different time in our lives, drifted away. And then they're not here. They're not close to Jesus. They're without anybody really knowing they were drifting. It's just all of a sudden, far from God. It's dangerous to not regularly evaluate ourselves. We can think that everything is good, and it's not. When we don't evaluate ourselves, those of us who are Christians, we don't see how we could follow God better and where we are in our faith with God. And those of us who aren't Christians would say, I think I'm just a good person and I'm okay with God. We have to evaluate our lives as we go through life. So this is one of the most appropriate ways that we could end this study of 1 John. And yes, I said end. 43 weeks. Okay, a little bit of nostalgia. My nostalgia. Not, I'll share, but this is me. I was remembering last night because I told my wife, I said, hey, tomorrow, last day in 1 John. And she jokingly said, well, it's about time. It was a joke. 43 weeks. But so in my mind, it went back. I was like, wait a second. I did the first two messages, I think first two, maybe three messages of 1 John in my basement with a video camera and not in English and Spanish for our home devotions when we were still in quarantine, when we weren't meeting together. We weren't able to do this. And anyway, I got a little bit emotional when thinking about it. I'll stop thinking about it so the emotion doesn't continue. Anyway, I didn't cry internally. Okay, so very appropriate to end our discussion of 1 John with a talk about how to evaluate and inspect our lives and ask ourselves, look in the mirror and say, how am I really doing? Because 1 John constantly calls us to constantly make an inventory of our lives, of how we walk with God. Now you say, well, I don't see that in 1 John. It didn't say those words. It doesn't, but it does invite us to analyze how we're doing. It's the inevitable conclusion of the tone of 1 John, of the logical thread that goes through it, of the theme of 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. We are going to jump around a lot today, but we only are going to jump around in 1 John. So, you know, be that as it may. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he tells us why he writes the book. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may so that you may know that you have eternal life. The purpose of the book is that we would be able to know that we have eternal life with God, that we are His children, that we have forgiveness, that the perfection of Jesus covers us, that we have eternal life in Christ, that we would have confidence in our relationship with God. He says, that's why I wrote all of this to you. And then what were the things that he wrote in the book to give us this confidence? So there are a series for a book as small as 1 John is. There are a plethora. I love that word. A plethora of declarations, of affirmations of what God's children are like, of what they do, of how they show that they're God's children, of, if you will, the symptoms of a regenerate person, a new person, a person who's been born again in Christ. And so as we read those, there is an implicit invitation to evaluate ourselves, to analyze our lives, to examine how we are doing, to look for the evidences of God's work in us, and to see the areas in our lives that we should pursue more and grow in becoming more like Jesus. So we're going to look at these declarations. We're going to go through the whole book of 1 John, not read the whole thing. It may feel like that. We're not going to, though. And as we look at these declarations that John makes, when he says, this is the way God's children are, there's two sides to that. There's two sides to each one. The inverse is also true. This is the way, the opposite of this is the way God's children aren't. So these become signs of, well, warning signs or signs of life or signs of death. They're signs of life when if you're God's child, you read through this list and you say, I see that in me. I am like that. I'm not completely. I'm more like that than I was. That's a sign of life. As that happens in your heart, what John says is his purpose in writing it is fulfilled. We feel confidence and security in our relationship with God. We see God's work in us. It's a beautiful thing to evaluate our lives and say, I see that sign of God working in me. It's a sign of danger also. It's a sign of danger when we don't see that much of one of these things in our lives. When we say, I don't see a lot of that. I can't identify that clearly in me. It's a warning sign that says we need to change that. You need to correct that. It's a warning to return to the path before it's too late, to move away from the danger that we're going towards when that is not present in us. And they also are signs of death when we see the complete absence of these things in us. When we can read these things and say, yeah, I'm not like that at all. That's not me. And by seeing them, gives us an opportunity to turn away from death and seek after, to chase after, to run after the work of God in our lives. So what are the declarations? It's a list. So I normally don't do lists, but we're doing a list today. So you might want to take out your phone or pen or whatever you take notes with, mental notes. Make a note of this list. So the first declaration John makes is this, not chronologically, first one we're going to read. God's children believe in Christ. God's children believe in Jesus. So go to 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the opposite of it, right? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son as the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. And now, little children, I'm sorry, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. Or chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar because he does not believe in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. This life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. God's children believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came in the flesh, that He died and was physically resurrected from the tomb, that He ascended to the right hand of the Father. God's children put their trust in Jesus. God's children have made the decision to give them, to surrender to this one they say is God by repenting and being baptized, and then lives their life to surrender to His Lordship. Jesus is their King. He's a Savior, and they depend on Him for everything. God's children believe, have put their trust in Jesus. Next one. God's children have the Spirit, have the Holy Spirit. So 1 John 3:24. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Or 4:13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. God's children have the Spirit dwelling in them. The Spirit gives them a powerful connection, a living connection to the presence and the power of God. They follow His guidance. They do what He says. They speak when He says to speak. They're silent when He says to be silent. They declare the gospel with the courage that the Spirit gives them. They battle their sin with the power of the Spirit. Next declaration. God's children confess their sins. Go to chapter 1, verse 5, just one section. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie. Do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. God's children confess their disobedience to themselves, to God, and to other brothers and sisters. God's children live in light, in transparency. They don't hide their sin. They don't try to keep people from finding out, or they don't justify it when they are found out. Rather, God's children, listen, regularly confess in speaking their sins to other people. God's children can answer the question, who, to whom, and when do I confess my sins? Little side note on that, something we just started doing in our family. So this isn't like a righteous brag because we just started doing it, and I'm 46 or 47, I think 40. Anyway, I'm old. So we just started doing it. So most of my life haven't done this. Do confess, but not this way. But every night in our family devotion, we sit around in the living room. We started this kind of during quarantine at the beginning of the whole COVID thing, when it's like, well, if we can't see other people, we have to, see each other. So every day we would sit around and read the Bible and a chapter in the Bible and sing a song together and then pray together, and everybody would pray. And we just, like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, added to that at the end, saying, okay, so I confess that, and then confess a sin from the day. And it's very revealing when you have to think about your day and say, yeah, where did I disobey God today? We should do that. Maybe not that exact way, but something like that. Next one. God's children leave their sin, walk away from their sin. Look at 1 John 3:3. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as he is pure. Verse 6, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Chapter 5, verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. God's children do not continue in persistent sin. They battle to leave it behind, and eventually they overcome it. They don't live in the same sin always. They don't sin openly without repenting. They don't live in open rebellion against God, against their Father. And God's children know what the sin is that they are battling in this moment. They say, this is the sin that I'm battling, and I'm not standing for it in my life, and I'm doing everything I can to walk away from it. And they also know what are the sins that they've overcome through the power of the Spirit. Another declaration, God's children imitate, related to this with the first one, the last one, God's children imitate Jesus. 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And God's children aren't their own bosses. They don't make their own decisions. They know that they've been bought by a price, a high price. They don't belong to themselves. God's children regularly examine who Jesus is in the pages of the scriptures, and they know, they're conscious of what in their character doesn't look like Jesus, and they have a plan. They try to live more and more, to become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. God's children, another declaration, God's children love other people. You go to chapter 2, verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Chapter 3, verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Because whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Verse 19, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. Chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love, the song we sang last week, right? Chapter 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is a commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. God's children love other people. They love their brothers. They love the stranger. They love the needy person. They love the person who's hard to put up with. They love the person. They love whoever God puts in their life. They know that God has loved them first. They've received the love of the Father, and they give that love to other people. So they're constantly seeking to do what's best for other people. They sacrifice themselves and their desires and their things and their goods to fill whatever need God puts before them. They don't publish it to other people. That's Matthew 5, right? They don't publish it, but they could tell you of any number of times when they have helped other people. They shouldn't if they want to keep the reward in heaven, but that's just part of their life. It's part of their story. It's what they do. One more. God's children listen to the truth. Hey, go to chapter 4, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak from the world. The world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God's child doesn't believe he knows everything, even if he's been God's child for a long time. He doesn't contend or dispute. He listens to others, specifically other children of God who are full of the Spirit, especially when they're speaking the words from the Word of God. And more than anything, God's child reads his Bible regularly. He listens to the voice of God in his Word, and he doesn't resist what God says. These are the declarations. Maybe you can find one or two more that I missed, but these are the ones where John says, this is what God's children are like. If you're not like this, not God's child. If you are like this, you are God's child. And so this is what we should aspire to. They affirm. Let me just read the whole list. God's children believe in Christ. They have the Spirit. They confess their sins. They leave their sin behind. They imitate Jesus. They love other people. They listen to the truth. We should use this list from 1 John. He said, I'm not going to remember all that. No, that's why we have 1 John in our Bibles. We read it, and it's just a small book. So just, you know, every month, just read 1 John and take a day and read 1 John, and won't even take the whole day. Take a half an hour in a day. Read 1 John and say, do I see evidences of God's work in me? And where do I see signs of danger? What are the things I'm not doing? Where do I need to change? And when we do that, it is so immensely helpful, because on one side, there's a positive side, because to the measure which we see these things in us, as we evaluate our lives, we're affirmed. And I can say, I am God's child. I see God's work in me. And then on the other side, that I'm warned, because I see things that I need to improve on. And so I'm helped as I look at the things that God wants me to, as God says, these are in my children. These are the way my children act and live. So today, what should we do? I think we should ask ourselves the question. You can't say, how do I apply all of them? That's too many. But here's what I trust. I trust, as we've been talking today, that the Spirit in us will help us answer the question, how can I better follow Jesus? Based on what John says God's children are like, how should I better follow Jesus? And listen, if you're not a Christian, if you still haven't surrendered to him, there's only one way to answer that question appropriately. There's only one answer. It's a direct answer. It's not an easy answer. The only answer to the question, how can I follow Jesus better, is to actually decide to follow Jesus, to surrender to him. Give yourself to Jesus by repenting and being baptized. Accept his sovereignty and make him the Lord of your life. And when you do that, in that moment, you receive the confidence that John talks about. You receive that you're able to say, I know I have eternal life. And for those of us who are Christians, we answer the question, how can I follow Jesus better? Well, where do I see the work of God in me as I read that list of declarations from 1 John? Where do I say, I see that in me? And then more importantly for us, for the application, what's the thing that I don't see in me? That I need to say, I need more of that. I need to follow the Spirit's guidance. I need to confess my sin. I need to love other people more. I need to, what is the thing? What is the Spirit telling you as you read those verses from 1 John? Where did he prick your heart and say, that's not you and it should be? What's the thing that you would commit to do this week to imitate Jesus better, to live more like a child of God? And as we think on that question, let's take communion together, because as we do, we see God's work in us, and that gives confidence. But you know what gives us more confidence than anything else that we have eternal life? It's when we take bread and we take juice and we remember Jesus' body and blood, and we contemplate the cross. The cross is what truly gives us confidence that we are God's children. Confidence before the Father in our good moments and our bad moments. It tells us that we are God's dearly beloved children. We're perfect in the eyes of our Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. So let's remember that together. Let's remember the cross, remember the suffering, remember the forgiveness that we have in him, and also the confidence that gives us before the Father. Let's pray together. God, thank you because you are good and kind and loving. Thank you that you that you paint such a vivid picture for us of what your children are supposed to look like and how we should be. And you give us, through that, you give us a way to look at our lives and see evidences of your work in us, and also to see how something to strive for, to aspire to become more like you. God, I pray that your Spirit would work in each one of our hearts, and you would show us what is it in us that, or isn't in us, that should be. Things that you say, this is how my children are, and show us where we aren't. God, I pray that as we take the bread, take the cup, that you would draw our hearts to you, and that you would fill us with a sense of wonder, that you would make us your children, that you would transform us, that you would love us so much. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.